Hello, everybody. This is Minister Shay from MinisterShay.com, giving you useful information that you can use, all being done from a Christian perspective. Again, this is Minister Shay from MinisterShay.com. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. However this podcast may find you, thank you for tuning in. So today, I have a topic that I want to discuss. And again, we want to deal with the harsh topics, the tough topics that a lot of people in Christianity may not be so comfortable with talking about. Not every Christian, but many. So we want to deal with the topic about teacher predators, namely female teachers who prey on their male underage minor students. We all are familiar with Mary Kay Letourneau. If we listen to that name, we automatically know who that is. Mary Kay Letourneau was the 34-year-old married mother of four who was a teacher to a 13-year-old student who she had a relationship with and end up subsequently going to jail for and going through the legal process, and they ended up getting married and having children of their own. But Mary Kay Letourneau, that case was in the news, and she is infamous for her love that she says that she had for this 13-year-old child who she was having a physical relationship with. And also another name that's been in the mainstream news is Deborah LaFave, the teacher from Florida, who also had a physical relationship with one of her students at the time, who was 14 years old. So I just want to talk about the prevalence of female teachers engaging in illicit physical sexual relationships with their underage, sometimes prepubescent or right in puberty, male students who are just immature and young. So that's our topic today. We want to talk about the prevalence of female teachers preying on their male students. And just out the gate, thinking about that, we know the song, I think it's Van Halen, Hot for Teacher, and a lot of men think, oh yes, this is my dream. My dream, you know, would be to have an illicit relationship with their teacher. So a lot of times when it comes to young boys and a very beautiful, because Deborah LaFave and Mary Kay Letourneau, both of them are beautiful women, any guy would want to, you know, love the attention. But this is disturbing that this happens. So, and let me tell you how prevalent this is. Just in the UK in 2015, there were more than 100 women were convicted of sexual offenses just in 2015. So think about, that's at least 100 children that were perpetrated upon. That's crazy. That should not be. 100 children lost their innocence to a teacher. At least 100 children that we know of. So the question needs to be asked, why do these teachers, why do these women prey upon these children? Well, I've been doing some research, and the research says that part of the issue with the teacher is that they have unmet intimacy needs. And Mary Kay Letourneau and Deborah LaFave were married women. And so one of the reasons could be because of unmet intimacy needs. And that's not all the time means physical intimacy, but just relationship problems, feelings of loneliness, feeling like no one cares. Also, another problem could be the over-sexualization of youth and the sexual empowerment of women. our society lies to us and tells us that women should lead instead of with their femininity. They should lead with their sexuality. So the mainstream media tells women, oh, this is not the 1950s anymore. This is not the 1800s or the Victorian era where you should be pure and chaste and just, you know, keep your business close to yourself. No, we live in a society that says if you're sleeping with however men, you know, tell everybody about it. There's no stigma. Be empowered by your sexual prowess or your ability to sleep with however men you want to sleep with. Be empowered by that. Don't be pure and chaste. Don't keep it to yourself. And so that could be a reason. And then our society sexualizes youth. It does. It sexualizes youth. These outfits that children wear these days. The athletic young man is seen as a sex symbol. Just, I'll give you a good example. When Twilight came out, the first Twilight came out, Taylor Lautner, who is he's a handsome young man, but he was 17 years old at the time, and he was shirtless just about the whole entire movie. Shirtless to show his physical body because we were supposed to sexualize him, but he was 16, 17 years old at the time. Sexualization of youth is a problem. Also, a lot of these teachers who prey upon young students, they're young themselves. And so a lot of times there is a lack of maturity. These teachers they've earned their credentials, rightfully so, and they've been through college and everything, but a lot of them graduate very young, very, very young. And so they graduate college very young. And so sometimes, not with all teachers, sometimes there is a lack of maturity. They love the attention from the students. And instead of being the popular teacher, they become the popular kid themselves because they look the same age as some of the students. They may wear the same fashions as some of the students. They know the slang. They know the lingo. They know how to use the electronics. They may have the same cell phones or other type of devices and maybe into the same music. So, you know, not in every situation, but there may be a lack of maturity for those teachers who prey upon students. And so let me give you a quote here. Robert Shoup, PhD, Dr. Robert Shoup, who is the director of the Cargill Center for Ethical Leadership, and he's also an author, and he wrote the book called Sexual Exploitation in Schools. He says, I've had cases where a teacher starts out seeing a kid simply to tutor him, but soon they begin talking about their personal lives and what music they like. And then they're listening to iPods together and texting each other. And suddenly it's like a dating relationship. And if you go to my blog, I talked about this in one of my blog postings about teachers having a crush on the students. That's one thing that parents need to be mindful of, is if you think the teacher or the coach or the adult has a crush on your child, you need to be mindful of that because, you know, I'm a tutor. I'm an English tutor. I love children. I've been in the school system extensively. I've been a classroom assistant. Like I said before, I've been a tutor. I've worked in a hospital. I've worked in daycare. I've been a classroom assistant from kindergarten till the age of 21, all the way up. So I've been involved in children in a school district from K through 12. And 21. And yes, you do have those students. I will be lying if I didn't say, yes, there's those students that you take a liking to. They're sweet children. They're adorable. These children that have something special about them. Yes. And sometimes those children who are struggling and really trying and who's really making an effort and their parents are, keeping up with them. Yes, you will go above and beyond for many students. But me, the line has to be drawn. My first job with the school district was in a position where I was 5 years older than the students that I was a classroom assistant for. And I worked closely together with the students. And so, yes, they would be interested in knowing what kind of music I listened to and things of that nature and what was I watching on TV. But then, you know, I guess at that point, I had to make the decision to just say, you know, we're here to learn. We're here to work. We're going to do this work. If you want to talk about music and stuff like that, you can talk about it with your friends, but I'm not your friend. And I set that boundary myself to say, yes, even though I was in the same age range as them, knew the music, knew who was hot, knew who the cool musicians and celebrities were, I chose not to go there with them because I knew it could cause problems. Some of the students started to call, you know, and of course I was nice to them. Of course I would, you know, if I had a couple of dollars, I would buy them a soda or a bag of chips or a bag of candy. Of course we, you know, I was in a position where I had to drive them to different work sites. And of course, sometimes we would take, if we didn't have anything pressing to do, I would take the long way around and we would take longer to come back. Or if they wanted to stop by the, you know, the store and get a donut. So, okay, yes, we could, it wasn't in our schedule to stop, but of course. So yes, I did that. Yes, I did. And yes, I would laugh with them and talk with them and that kind of nature, but I still drew the line. The line was still drawn. Some of the students wanted to call me auntie. And I had to tell them, no, don't call me that. My name is Mrs. Myers. That's what you call me. And they started that auntie mess. And I told them, no. They wanted to say, oh, well, you know, Miss Myers, turn up the music and let's blast the music. No, we're not. No, we're going to be professional. So I had to draw that line. And of course, some of them I saw as my children. Some of them, I was only a couple, less than 10 years difference in age for them, but I saw them as my children. Some of them I did. Some of them I did like more than others. These students were adorable. They were adorable. But I had to be the mature one because I had to keep these children safe. These parents entrusted me with their kids. I had to do the right thing. I had to keep these children safe. So I had to be the mature one. And that's a decision that teachers have to make, especially when you're with them all day long. Of course, they're going to ask questions. Of course, you're going to take a mutual interest in them, in their lives, because some of them came from really interesting backgrounds. But I had to make the decision. I'm not going to go there with them, and I'm not going to let down my professionalism, and I'm rightfully so. And I'm glad that I, you know, kept that professional boundary up. But many teachers, they don't understand boundaries. They don't understand how to fully grasp that they are actually committing a crime when they get into these relationships with these children, because, you know, that's all it takes is to talk about music, to talk about television shows, to talk about electronics. And you will find you will have common interests. But then if you keep going down that road, it will be as a relationship is developing. And I dealt with, in my career, I dealt with special needs children. And a lot of them were looking for someone to take a liking to them. They were looking for someone to latch onto. And I could see that. And I would all the time direct them to their friends, direct them to their parents, direct them to their cousins, direct them to people in the community, because I could not feel that need. So yes, a lot of times I was interested in the same musicians and bands and actors and actresses and comedy shows. I was interested in many of the same things that they were interested in, but I could not let them know that because the professional relationship had to remain intact. Was I the funny one? Yes, I was. But then that was only to a point. But when it was time to get to work, it was time to get to work. So this will be a good time to take a break right now. We're going to take a break and talk about Anchor. And maybe you yourself having a podcast. So let's take a break. And then when we come back, we're going to pick up the discussion. So right now, let's take a break. Okay. And we are back. Again, this is Minister Shay from MinisterShay.com discussing very important topics and topics that may be a little bit too intense for the sanctuary church setting, but nonetheless, we need to talk about these issues from a Christian worldview. I am an advocate of children and families. I've worked in the school system. I've worked with children. I've worked with families. I've worked in the hospital system, and I've also been a child protective services caseworker. So I am serious. I am intent on keeping children safe, especially from childhood sexual abuse. And today our discussion centers around the prevalence of female teachers who abuse their male, minor, young, teenage, tween students. And yes, there is a prevalence out there of male teachers preying upon female young girls, young students. Yes, that happens, but we will send them under the jail, straight to jail. Everybody agrees that a man should not prey upon a little girl, a child. It is not acceptable in any sense of the term. But when it comes to the young, beautiful, exhilarating female teacher and the young male student who's just coming into his male manliness, that's when the stigma is. That's where the line is drawn. So yes, everybody, 99.9% of everybody, yes, if there's a male teacher who preys upon any student, male or female, yes, let's send them straight to jail and prosecute him to the full extent of the law, because that is utterly unacceptable. But when we get to the young, beautiful teacher and the male student, that's when some people have ideas about it. It is predation. A female is an abuser. If a female teacher, adult teacher, abuses a young child, male student, she is a predator. She has preyed upon that child, and she needs to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. That child has been abused and needs to seek help and healing for that abuse. There's a stigma attached to it because, again, as I said in a previous statement, Deborah LaFave and Mary Kay Letourneau, beautiful women. And the stigma is, oh, well, who wouldn't want to have the attention and maybe a physical relationship with those two beautiful women? But when it's children, it is just sickening. It's reprehensible, and it should not happen. And I do not want it to happen to your children. So I am raising awareness to be aware of if a teacher is interested in your child. Well, not even interested. If you seek tutoring for your child from a teacher, I would suggest, as someone who's been in the school setting for a long time, as a former child protective services caseworker, I would suggest, my professional opinion would be to have the tutoring in a public place, in a library. It could be the school's library, it could be a public library, it can even be your home. But wherever it is, other people and other adults need to be present. And parents, you know how your children are. Your children may want to talk about something else and ask the teacher about something else. Because are you married? Do you have a boyfriend? And it's funny conversation, especially from young people. But if that teacher doesn't bring that conversation back to the subject matter that we're doing, then you, parent, need to bring it back. And I know it's innocent for children. Children are inquisitive. Children are natural born explorers. Children love information. And a lot of times it could just be polite, innocent conversation. But an immature teacher could misconstrue that and think that it is something different. So if there is tutoring or coaching or anything going on, parents, be there. If you can't be there, have another trusted adult be there to make sure everything is on the up and up. Is that being a helicopter parent? I don't think it is, but I would err on the side of caution. I would just err on the side of caution because children need to be protected. Children don't have the wisdom. Children are smart, 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 smart. You know, my 15-year-old niece can come in here and press a button and make the TV do some cut flips. But she doesn't have the wisdom to know danger like I know danger. She doesn't have the life experience to know that. So we as parents and aunts and educators need to step in the gap for our children and protect them, not scare them. And I'm not saying hover, but it's 100 children in just 2015 in the UK alone, at least 100 children. That's 100 children too many. So, and let me read you something that Deborah LaFave, I think she was 23 years old, a 23-year-old Florida teacher who had sex with her 14-year-old student. She said, at the time upon her arrest, I was thinking of myself as a young girl who just got caught with her boyfriend. Deborah LaFave, a teacher, very smart woman. Anybody who gets their teacher certification and goes through the years of training and schooling to get a teacher's degree, because it's not easy in that education program. So anyone who goes through that education program and gets the certification, they are highly intelligent. But we see from this quote that Deborah LaFave lacked maturity. Emotional maturity, because she saw herself as a young girl who got caught with her boyfriend. How is a 14-year-old your boyfriend? You're 23. That's almost a 10-year age difference almost. And you're saying that you're a girl and she's married. I don't know if she is now, but at the time she was married. So another reason that I've encountered in my research is lust. Lust is another reason why teachers prey upon children, because, and I've seen this in the school system, I've seen some 16-year-olds, male and females, 16-year-old males and females who look like they're in their 20s. They have the deep voices. They may have hair on their chin and mustaches, and they may be tall and have a muscular build, and they look like your average run-of-the-mill young healthy adult. I've seen that. I've seen them be articulate. I've seen them be nice and helpful. You want me to get that for you? You want me to carry your books to class, Miss Such and Such? Miss Such and Such, let me help you with that. And they may even go to the aid of the teacher if they're encountering a hard time from students in class. I've had those students who seem as if they're mature. And it is easy, if you're not mature, to look upon that student and say, you know what? I probably, if I was in high school, I probably would date them. It's easy to do that. And so lust, you can, some teachers could develop this narrative in their mind and be lusting after the student. And the student is, you know, for all intents and purposes, looks capable. They're attractive. They look capable enough to engage in a physical relationship. So the teacher may feel young and attractive themselves. And see, and that's the thing about the narrative that is in the mind of the teacher. They idolize and sexualize the student. And so that student in their mind may stir up young feelings inside of them. Again, it all goes back to the maturity level of the teacher and the boundaries that the teacher has set. Again, I've been in the school system. I've seen beautiful children, children who are beautiful on the inside, children who are beautiful on the outside, children who are going places, children who all the teachers like, children who are popular, children who are charismatic. And so, yes, if you're not careful, it's easy to try to relive your glory days in high school, or, you know, you feel kind of dumpy and 10 pounds overweight. But this student stirs up something within you to make you feel young and make you feel vibrant and wanted, and may make you even feel attractive. Lust will lie to you that way and do that to you, but you have to be mindful of who you are and where you are and your position. That's where boundaries are important. And in some cases, in some sad cases, many teachers are probably sexual abuse survivors themselves and maybe haven't developed mentally those healthy boundaries. It's a sad case, but true. Many teachers have suffered childhood sexual trauma or some type of abuse or some type of trauma from their family or origin, and just hadn't had a chance to develop those healthy boundaries. And so maybe one could speculate that that is the reason. Another one is revenge against a husband for not being emotionally supportive. Here again, it all goes back to maturity. You're going to get back. Some teachers may choose to exact revenge on their husband by putting their job and their reputation and their teacher's license on the line. Some teachers may risk going to jail, serving prison time, upsetting their family life, throwing their career to the wayside just to get revenge. Again, that goes back to maturity. If you're upset with your husband because he works too much and you're lonely and you're stuck grading papers at home and you have to deal with the kids by yourself and your husband is not fawning you and giving you the attention because you get a lot of attention at school from your students, it's revenge, lack of boundaries, lack of maturity. And another last point I want to make about this is younger teachers may often get absorbed into the teen culture of their school, and they could use their job, their judgment, as well as their professionalism because they're so caught up in the teen culture. And, you know, it's been a couple of years since I actually have been in the classroom with teenagers, but what I see going on is a lack of respect. Students are more emboldened. When I was coming up, there are some things I wouldn't say to a teacher. It was always, yes, ma'am. And if I wanted to have a teenage conversation with my friends, I wouldn't have a teenage conversation in front of an adult. But that's out the window these days most of the time. These days, teenagers act as if they're adults. They carry themselves as adults. And it's not like it used to be how they would kind of just say, oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't supposed to say that in front of you. Some students may do that. But in this day and time, it's easy to get caught up in the teen culture. Children know a lot. Information is more prevalent to children these days than it was when I was coming up, and or maybe a couple years ago when I was still in the school system. And so it's easy for especially younger teachers, you know, older teachers are kind of jaded. They're just like, you know, I hear you. Okay, I'm not going to get caught up in your drama. But some younger teachers may like the drama. The drama may be enticing to them. The drama may be funny. And at first it may start off as just being funny. And they like the drama. They engage with the students. The students like them. These may be the cheerleading coaches. They may be the, you know, teachers. Oftentimes in high school, they have to do double duty. So you see them in the classroom, and then you see them on the field, in the gym. And so it's easy if you're all day with students, and then in the afternoon you're with students. If you're thinking about students because you're grading papers, if you're looking at the students because you're at a football game or a band practice or a band competition, you know the lingo. You know who's dating who and who likes who and who has a crush on you, because it's in your ear. It's in your face every single day. It's easy to get swept up in the teen culture, and you can be a part of it if you don't set those boundaries. I would say if students are talking teenage conversations that you don't want to be a part of, if it's in the midst of a lesson, redirect. Bring it back. Okay, young ladies, we're not talking about such and such right now. We're not talking about the boy band right now. We're not talking about the boys on the football team right now. We're talking about this cheerleading. Okay, you guys are supposed to be making this formation. Let's go. Let's get to it. Redirect. And even go so far as to say, excuse me. If they say something out of line, excuse me, I don't want you talking like that around me or any adult ever again. That's disrespectful. You have to build up that relationship. You have to show, and I'm not saying just totally chastise children. I'm not saying totally just chastise them and just point out 50 things that they're doing wrong. But build up that relationship of trust. Establish the rapport enough to when they get out of line that they can be corrected. And sometimes that does, if you feel like you can't correct them in that moment, then that's when you pay a phone call to the parent. That's when you send a note home. That's when you get another teacher who you feel may can say what you can't say, but that child has to know, I'm sorry, that's not appropriate. Parents, you have to keep your children safe. Parents entrust their children to teachers, and it's our job to keep them safe and keep them on the right track. So we're going to end right here. We're going to talk about other things in this that pertains to this subject matter. Again, I am an advocate for children and families. I am a activist for children and families. I care about the safety and the health and the welfare and the well-being of every single child on this planet. And it is the mission that I have been given from God to talk about these issues, to uncover these tough situations so that every child in this world can be safe. I will do it until there is no more breath in my body. I want to keep you and your family safe and healthy, and that is why I'm doing this. This is Minister Shay from MinisterShay.com. I hope you have enjoyed this podcast. Please feel free to leave comments, leave me a voicemail, write me. My blog is on ministershay.com, MINISTERSHAY.com. Thank you for listening, and God bless you. God's richest blessings to you, and we will see you soon.